You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
All right. Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We have a red hot show today. I have somebody who's going to be on the show with me, and this is a fellow that I've looked up to for a year after year in his work in strategic marketing. I believe that Darrell Weeks is one of the top 10% of strategic marketers in the world, and I am really privileged to have him on here to help businesses in California learn how to thrive. And we're talking to an Aussie who's going to tell us how they thrive in Australia, and let's see what we can find out today. So welcome, Darrell.
G'day, Will. How are you?
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. It's a beautiful day here.
Well, it's 4 a.m. in the morning here, so...
Oh, my goodness.
It's an early morning for me.
All right. All right. Well, wonderful. I appreciate you getting up that early.
It's a good thing I'm an early riser.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, what businesses, small to medium-sized businesses, can do to thrive in this crazy new marketplace.
Well, one of the things that we're seeing right now is if you consider the sheer volume of message that's been fired at everyone. We consider as business owners, we consider that our marketing is different for some reason. But when you look at the sheer volume of messages that we receive today, for instance, there's more information in the Washington Post in one day than a person 100 years ago learned in their entire life. We're getting something like 30 to 50,000 messages a day fired at us. So getting the cut through with your message, getting your message to actually connect with your audience is one of the biggest challenges for businesses. But the problem with that is that most small business owners, and I specialize in working with small business owners, particularly small business owners that have little to no marketing budget. So you've got to think those micro and small businesses. One of the challenges for those businesses is that as a business owner, what you're really concerned about going to work every day is you're concerned about paying the bills, whether the staff turned up, whether the order turned up, whether your suppliers are providing on time, whether your customers are actually paying their bills, your cash flow, all that kind of stuff. So looking at the two most important components of your business, and to quote Peter Drucker, you know, the reason the business exists is to acquire customers. So therefore the two most important components is innovation and marketing. Those two components, innovation and marketing, seem to take a back seat for most business owners, and they're the two things that will make your business successful. Yet what we see is businesses failing, and you know the business statistics in the US for failure for small business. And they get blamed on a whole range of things, but ultimately, if you look at them, the reason most of these businesses fail is they simply fail to generate enough leads early enough in the business to provide them with enough cash flow to continue to keep their business their doors open.
Yeah. So you must have some interesting ideas about how small businesses can generate more leads.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I tell our clients. And the businesses that we speak to, and we speak to, you know, hundreds of businesses a year. One of the things that we like, one of the myths that we like to dispel is that you don't have to spend a lot of money to, in fact, market your business and get it in front of your target audience. That's the first thing. Second thing we teach people is that there's some social media tools right now, and there's a lot of hype around social media, and I want to today, if we've got time, I want to dispel some of the myths and actually let people know exactly what's happening there and how to use it and why to use it. There's a lot of pressure on business owners to be involved in Twitter and Facebook and all these other bits and pieces and Pinterest and all that kind of stuff. But there's the most powerful social media tool available to small business, costs nothing, and in fact, it is used by very few business owners. So what we try and do is we try and educate our clients around the no-cost, what I call no-cost and low-cost marketing strategies, and let them know that you don't have to spend bucket loads of money. In fact, what I tell my clients is you can spend less money and actually be more effective in your marketing if you're a little bit more clever, if you innovate, if you spend a little time thinking about it, which most business owners simply don't because of, you know, all those pressures, all those things that are landed on them every single day. You know, just opening the doors and keeping a small business open is a major achievement. And you guys have got millions and millions of small business owners that go through the same dramas every day. So finding that time to, in fact, focus on those two important things is really difficult. And understanding, as I said, that you don't have to spend money to be really effective in your marketing. And if we've got time today, I'll share some of those strategies with your audience.
All right.
Stuff that they can put in place.
Yeah, well, we certainly want to do that. We certainly want to do that. Now, can you give us a little insight into what those might be?
Well, one of the things that we look at is a move back to hyper-local marketing. Now, if you think about traditional retail stores, for instance, and traditionally, let's think back to the 40s and 50s, and what you had was you had the store, and it would deal with a local audience, and it would have a local customers, and it only dealt in its particular area. Everyone knew the store and all that kind of stuff. Then we've moved into the online world, and everyone came along and said, hang on a second, you can sell your products all over the world, and the internet has made the world smaller, and get online, all that kind of stuff. And that's true. Don't get me wrong, that's absolutely true. But let me give you an example. Let's say you're a business whose product isn't applicable on the internet by and large. Let's look at real estate, for instance. You guys live in Laguna Beach. If you have a look at a real estate agent, you go, well, where's the benefit of me trying to sell overseas? You've got a localized market. So that hyper-local marketing approach would say, rather than trying to own the town, rather than trying to be the recognized real estate agent in the town, if you do some research, and you can jump on, for a real estate agent, for instance, you can jump on something like Zillow and find out everything you need to know about a particular suburb. You can find out how many houses are sold, what the demographics are. You've only got to look at the census data to see exactly how many people live there, what their average age, all that kind of stuff. You can do all of your research. And the thing that I can guarantee you is that there is more business in one suburb for a real estate agent, for example, than they could handle in their lifetime. The number of houses that are sold in a particular suburb, you can pick any suburb. And if you became the local person, the agent. Now, every industry, every place has a person, a go-to person, if you like. So, for instance, if you've got a particular kind of car, let's pick a Porsche or Ferrari or whatever it is, and you want it serviced, people go, this is the guy. Enzo's the guy to service you. He's the guy, you know. Or if you need some plumbing work done, go, Bob's the guy that does that kind of work. There's always someone, a person. Or if you need a particular kind of haircut, they go, Cheryl's the person. She's just fantastic. Or you need a wedding cake. There's always someone that you can recognize. The key to hyper-local marketing, the key to success today, in particular those smaller businesses, is not to own the city or own the town. You simply can't do that. But to own a particular market and become positioned as the person to deal with, so you become the obvious choice. And there's a way to do that. There's a way that we can actually position a business, or a way a business can position itself, that allows them to be recognized as the person or the business, if you like.
All right, so keep on going. Tell us more.
One of the key things is that because we have so many messages fired at us today, think about when business owners think about their own marketing, they seem to think about their market or the people, because your market are people. They seem to think about their prospects as being different in somehow or some way or some form. And they go, if I do this kind of thing, this will resonate and we'll get this kind of response. And marketers perpetuate that myth. What you have to do is you have to understand that people are just like you. They respond to messages just like you. They respond to your advertising just like you. So if you get annoyed at people sending you unsolicited emails, if you then send unsolicited emails as part of your marketing campaign thinking people respond, they're going to respond just the way you respond. So one of the things to understand is that you're actually having a conversation. One of the things I teach my clients is that if someone comes along and says, content is king, if they tell you that content is king, then they're about 15 years behind the times, because content is king was the name of a presentation at a conference about 15, 20 years ago on internet marketing. And everyone picked up and said, oh my God, what a great title. We'll go and tell everyone content is king. So you've got to put all this content into your website, get all this content. Well, the truth is that content has always been critical. You have to have content. You have to have something that people can engage with. What's king today is conversation. And I can prove that to you, because 83% of the growth in the internet today is being driven by video. Now, there's two reasons that we engage with videos, two reasons that YouTube has become the absolute megalith it's become today. And the two reasons are that we watch videos for entertainment or education. If you look at the kind of searches people do on YouTube, they search for things like how to get rid of ants, how to iron a silk shirt, how to fiberglass a motorbike. People look there to get information. The other reason we jump on there is we want to see cats playing pianos and we want to see funny things and that kind of stuff. So entertainment and education. Now, the reason that we engage with video is really, really simple. Virtually every person on the face of the planet today has been conditioned to come home from school from the earliest age, sit in the lounge room and engage with a box in the lounge room that has a conversation with us. Even at your age, Will, mm-hmm. you know, 1945 is when commercial television first launched in the United States. So yeah. Ever since we've been having a conversation with this box, so we've been conditioned to have a one-way conversation, which is why YouTube, which now puts the user in control of what they see, has become so popular. Now, here's the big mistake that people make with YouTube, though, is that you don't watch YouTube for ads. Now, the number of businesses that I see that go, oh, let's jump into video marketing, and the first thing they do is they produce an ad for their business, and then they name the ad their business, you know, Bob's Plumbing. Well, no one searches for Bob's Plumbing. No one cares about Bob's Plumbing. I don't mean to be offensive to business owners, but people, you got to understand, no one cares about your business. They've got millions of messages a day being shoved at them. They don't care about your business. What people care about is what you can do for them. Your market cares about what you can do for them, how you can help them first. That's the first thing. So if you produce video and have a YouTube channel for your business and you put ads on there, the first thing that will happen is people turn off because you're trying to flog them stuff, and no one engages with YouTube to be sold stuff. We engage in YouTube for two reasons, to be entertained or to be educated. Now, if you engage with the video knowing this and you give away information that positions you as being an expert in your space, for instance, if you're – let's use the real estate agent example once again. If I'm looking to purchase a property or sell a property in a particular area, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to do some research. And what I'm looking for is I'm looking for a real estate agent who I can trust. Now, unfortunately, if you have a look at there's a trust index that the US produces every year. If you look at the trust index, you can see the most trusted people are nurses and firefighters and that kind of thing. The least trusted professions tend to be politicians, real estate agents, insurance salespeople. So real estate agents, for instance, have a huge trust issue to overcome. So how do you overcome that? The way you overcome that is that you don't tell people that you're the best real estate agent, or you don't tell people that you're the most trusted real estate agent. You allow your audience to come to that conclusion. And this is one of the keys to marketing today. It's not to tell people that you're the best. It's to lead them to that conclusion where they can come to their own conclusion that you are the best. And that's done through conversation. How do we have a conversation with someone that allows them to do that? So if you look at video, and moving back to the video, if you demonstrate to people you know your stuff by giving away some key information that as a potential client I can take on board, I can use, I can go, hang on a second, this is valuable stuff. They haven't tried to sell me anything. They haven't tried to tell me that, you know, Daryl's real estate agency is the best real estate agent. They've given me some valuable information that I can use. I'm now coming to my own conclusion that you know your stuff. Now, if you know your stuff, I'm now coming to the conclusion in my head, hang on a second, this could be a business that I could deal with because they're proving to me that they are knowledgeable about their market, they're knowledgeable about my market. And once again, this is where we come back to hyperlocal. If I'm selling a property in a particular suburb, there are certain streets that will have different nuances. On one side of the street, you'll get a higher price, but the other side of the street, you'll get a lower price. Certain areas in a particular suburb will have particular connotations or particular thoughts about it, and people go, well, we have to do certain things to sell your property here. So knowing a suburb back to front actually allows potential clients to engage with you in a far more effective and trustworthy way, because they go, hang on a second, you know my area, you know my house. I'll give you an example. I work with one of the most successful mortgage brokers in the country here in Australia. Works in Adelaide, beautiful place in South Australia, capital South Australia. She works in literally three suburbs. She works in a suburb called Glenelg, which is right on the beach, and a suburb either side. For the last 25 years, she's only ever done business in these three suburbs. This woman does $150 million worth of home loans per year on her own, and she only ever works in those three suburbs. Now, she's done loans for the same house. One house she's done loans for 10 times over those 25 years. She knows the home inside out. She knows when it was sold. She has so much information that no one even bothers to talk to anyone else when they're looking for a home loan. They go to Wendy Higgins because she knows the area. And she only works in this one suburb, Glenelg, and the one suburb either side. So if you look at the value of hyperlocal marketing and move back to focusing on owning a particular suburb, extraordinary value for small business. But, you know, marketers come along and they try and convince everybody that you've got to be online, you've got to sell your products all over the world, and, you know, there's 6 billion people in the world and you're going to sell it to them. Well, that's just not true. It's just not how it happens.
All right. So tell me about some other examples other than real estate. What would it sound like to focus on a local area? Is that the same thing as a niche?
Yeah, well, when people talk about a niche, or when marketers talk about niches, or when business owners talk about niches, that niche can be a geographical area. It doesn't have to be a particular demographic of people. It can be a geographic area. Now, as marketers, what we do is we try and be very, very specific about the market that we're trying to have a conversation with, because there's only four parts to marketing, and I'm a really simple guy when it comes to marketing. I'm not complicated at all. Two things to understand about marketing. First of all, marketing is simply having a conversation with someone who has a problem they don't want, or who wants something they don't have. Now, one of the challenges with that, of course, is that some people don't realize they have a problem they don't want. And a perfect example of that is, I don't know whether you guys got this at the moment, but in Australia, we are just being bombarded with funeral insurance ads at the moment. Now, the reason we're being bombarded with funeral insurance ads is really, really simple. No one thinks about it. We don't understand that that's a problem until, you know, something happens and we have a tragedy and someone, and you go, oh, gee whiz, we haven't got enough money to pop dad in the ground. This is now a problem. So we have these really emotional ads going at the moment about funeral insurance. So it's not creating the problem. It's simply making people aware that there is a problem and they need to take action. That's a good example of, you know, having a problem, not understanding it. The other one is wanting something that you don't have, or having a conversation with someone who wants something they don't have. And a really good example of not knowing you want something is the smartphone. I had no idea I needed a smartphone until Steve Jobs came along and said, Daryl, you need a smartphone. And I went, oh, you're right. Now I can't run my business without it. So now I've been educated about needing a smartphone, and I didn't know I needed to change it every couple of years. Well, now I know that I need to change it every couple of years, and of course my telco comes along every couple of years and says, gee whiz, sign up for another couple of years and we'll give you a new handset. So that's two examples of understanding that. Now, there's only four components to marketing that make it work. First of all, you got to understand who your market is. You got to be having a conversation with the right people, and I'll give you an example of that. If you sell the best lawnmower in the world, and you're selling it for the best price available, and you're trying to sell it to a street where everyone has put concrete in their front yard and their backyard and they don't mow their lawn, it doesn't matter how good your lawnmower is or how low your price is, no one's ever going to buy your lawnmower because there's no need for it. So clearly that's the wrong market. That's an extreme example. But if you're having a conversation with the wrong people, they're never going to buy your stuff. And what we do as business owners, and particularly small business owners, they try and have a conversation with everybody. They try and tell everybody that their product is right for them without understanding that it's not. Secondly, you need to have the right message. So what are we saying to people? Now, when marketing fails, we tend to blame the medium. We say, well, radio didn't work or TV didn't work. Well, we know radio works. We know TV works. We know what the mediums are to get the message out there. But they tend to blame the medium. What it is the message? What are you saying that engages with your audience? Remember that we get bombarded with thousands of messages a day. Why would I listen to your message? And one of the reasons we get that wrong is because we're trying to have a conversation with everyone. We haven't identified who our market is. This is, once again, why hyperlocal marketing actually works, because you understand exactly who you're having a conversation with. The third thing that you need is you need an offer. How do you motivate someone to take action? And you need something that is compelling, that allows your potential clients, not everybody, but your potential clients, to take action with a no-risk, low-risk offer. And no-risk, low-risk offer means, can I engage with this particular business without the fear of them trying to shove something down my throat? Can I engage with you in such a way that I get something of value, allow me to experience how awesome your business is without actually paying you any money, to start with, and this is one of the challenges. If I can do that and you prove to me that you guys are honourable and you guys are ethical and all that kind of stuff and you have the right price and all that kind of gear, then I'm happy to continue. And the last thing, of course, that we need is what medium are we using? Because, for instance, I had a client ring me just before Christmas last year and said, Daryl, I want to do a TV ad. And I said, not a problem. I said, here's the problem. I said, not a problem doing that, except that if we've got the wrong message, we could spend $1 million on a TV ad and generate absolutely no leads whatsoever, or we could spend no money on a networking strategy with the right message and generate your 100 leads. Now, what do you want to do? Do you want to actually throw this money away because the message you've got is absolutely wrong? So the four components there is you've got to know who your market is and have a conversation with the market. You've got to know what your message is so you can have that conversation. You have to have an offer that will engage or allow people to take action on a no-risk, low-risk basis. And then you've got to use the right medium, whether that be radio, letterbox drop, TV, whatever it is. Now, most small business owners don't have the time to think about these things, and it's not until you sit them down and go, hang on a second, let me take you by the hand and metaphorically pull you about away from your business and have a helicopter view of your business that allows you to see exactly what's going on. Now let's put some time aside to make sure that we can put something in place that doesn't cost you a fortune, that generates some leads first, because nothing happens in a business unless you generate leads. There's no sale that takes place. There's no food that gets put on the table. No one gets paid unless we generate a lead and then take that lead through the funnel and then turn them into a full-paying client, and a full-paying client who refers and stays and pays and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We got the four things. Four things. Market to the right people. It's going to be people who have a need. They either have something that they don't want or they want something they don't have. Have the right message. Have a compelling offer. No risk, low risk. And maybe even helping them experience it without spending some money. And then make sure we're using the right medium to have that conversation with people. Well, that's a good intro. We're going to take a little break here, Daryl, and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back to hear more about how to make businesses thrive in California.
Does your company need more than basic financial transactions? Are you holding your business back with your entry-level accounting software? When your business starts to grow, and it will, you'll need more security, features, and functionality. Well, let me introduce you to Gravity Software. Gravity Software's online accounting solution is written on the Microsoft CRM platform. No more islands of information. Financials and CRM are fully integrated and in the cloud. Gravity's goal is to fill the gap between entry-level accounting software like QuickBooks and complex and expensive enterprise applications. Gravity Software, simply innovative business management. Learn more at go-gravity.com.
Hi, it's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Traditional sales training teaches techniques on how to eliminate stalls and objections. Some are fancy sales moves, while others are programmed responses. Sales is a conversation, and I don't know how you can memorize every possible response for every sales situation. Also, the prospect has usually heard these responses before and has been turned off by some fancy sales move. When you really think about it, the only person qualified to address the stall or objection is the prospect. Ask the right questions and you will eliminate stalls and objections. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
And now back to Will and his guest.
All right, we've been talking to Daryl Weeks from Australia, one of the top marketers. And by the way, Daryl, you have recently been appointed as the marketing partner for the Small Business Council of Australia. Is that right?
Yeah, I've known the chairman for quite a while, and the Small Business Council represents about 600,000 businesses across Australia. And what they're looking to do is to add value to their membership. And they approached me and said, look, Daryl, would you mind working with our members, utilizing your no-cost, low-cost strategies, because, you know, our members need help. So that's happened and about to be announced, which I'm very honored to have been approached. This is quite a prestigious organization.
Congratulations. I'm sure you'll make a major contribution to that council.
We'll give it a crack, yeah. Will, that's for sure.
All right. Well, so now you've talked about hyper local marketing. And you've talked about how to utilize video. Now, talk to us a little bit about this whole push for social marketing with all the various platforms that a small business can use.
Yeah, the whole move to the social media marketing, and the theory is absolutely spot on. You know, position yourself with your target market and you have a conversation and all that kind of stuff. The challenge there, once again, and I'm talking specifically about small businesses here, if you're a bigger business and you can afford to pay someone to do this for you on an ongoing basis, then fantastic. You can start to create content, position yourself as a thought leader in your market space and all that kind of stuff. That all sounds fantastic. The challenge for smaller businesses, though, is that the sheer volume of content that you need to produce to get yourself noticed on social media is extraordinary. And the lead-in time for any kind of return on that is huge. So two problems here. If you want to get immediate results for your business, then engaging in social media isn't the medium for you. It's not going to produce you the results straight away that you're looking for, particularly if you're going to use those what I now call those traditional social media tools, using LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter and all those kind of places, a long, long time. So, and you need to produce a lot of content. Now, most small business owners simply don't have the time to produce it. They've got the knowledge, but then a lot of small business owners that I know aren't that good at writing stuff. They can explain things to you in their head. They understand the answers, all that kind of stuff. But if you ask them to articulate a particular point in an article that they want to post on LinkedIn or Facebook or something like that, they struggle to do that. Even coming up with short bullet points for things like Twitter, they struggle with. And they're so busy running their business. The interesting thing is, and once again, if you come back to the hyper-local marketing where what we want to do is position ourselves as being the go-to business or the go-to person in a particular area, there's a social media tool right now that's virtually unused. Now, some businesses have jumped on it and gone bananas with it, and it works really, really well. But I'll just give you some stats first that support what I'm about to tell you. Today, let me go back. I've been around a little while. 20 years ago, if someone referred you to a business for a product or a service, you simply accepted that referral, and in around about 75% of the cases, you would contact that business based on the referral because we trust that a referral from someone is actually in our best interests. And if someone that we know has dealt with a business, you go, well, that's a pretty good endorsement for me. I'll contact that business. Fast forward now to today, 2016. If someone refers you to a business today, over 90% of people who are referred to a business for a product or service will actually Google that business. 92% will Google that business. Now, in a lot of those cases, we're looking for the phone number, which is extraordinarily interesting because when I have a look at people's websites, what I see is the first thing that's disappeared, and this is because web designers are really good graphic artists and they're really bad marketers. So what they do is they take the phone number off the front page because they go, well, we'll put that in the contact page because the phone number makes it look messy. And you go, dude, what people are looking for in a lot of cases is the phone number. And you want to make things as easy as possible for people to find how to get to your business. So if someone's Googling your business, you want to have your phone number right up front. And so many businesses take the phone number off their websites. So 92% of people will Google a business. Now, if you want to Google a business, you want to find a business online. There's only two ways, and the digital marketing people will tell you that there's seven ways that you can get your business up there. There's really only two. There's organic or there's deliberate. Now, if someone does an organic search, it means they're looking for a product or service, particularly in a local area, because Google now works on local areas, which now supports my hyper-local approach. They're looking for a product or service in a particular area, but they don't know who to supply that, so they're doing research. So as consumers, we're now educating ourselves, and in fact, the statistics now demonstrate to us that we do almost, if you could break it down to about 70% of the buying process is done online before we reach out to a business to talk to about supplying a product or a service. So we are educating ourselves now. We're using the internet because it gives us access to all this information. So we want to be educated about a product or a service before we reach out and talk to someone. So almost 70%. So we Google. So if we do an organic search, what we do is we're looking for a product or service, but we don't know who to supply that. And we're looking for the business to demonstrate that they know their stuff. Now, this goes back to my previous point about you can't tell people how good you are. Self-praise is no praise at all. We know that. And if if a business says on their website, we are fantastic, we are the best, all that kind of stuff, then as consumers, as human beings, unchanging principles of human psychology dictate that we go, yeah, sure you are. Because when people make those sort of claims, everybody's going, yeah, sure, whatever. That's the first thing we need to understand. The other way that people find your business is deliberately, which is they're looking for your business. And they're looking for your business because they want to do business with you or they want to find out more about it, which is where the previous problem I spoke about, not having your contact details on the front page, not having a way to engage with that business on a low-risk, no-risk basis on your website, causes problems. Now, just talk about websites just for a second. There's only three reasons that a business has a website. And most business owners, particularly small business owners, don't understand the three reasons. And there's always one of these three things that's missing. And I'll tell you what the three things are. First thing is credibility. You've got to have a website for credibility. 92% of people referred to your business will Google your business. If you haven't got a website, then we say your business can't be real. If I want to put it this way, what I say to my clients is one of the reasons that the people want to know that you're credible, that you have a business, you have contact details, is because if something goes wrong, they want to be able to hunt you down. They want to go, hang on a second, this is a real business, so I want to be able to find you guys. So that's the first one, credibility. Second one is information. And not just information about your business, information about your industry, information about your products, information about, and not just your products, information about the products in general. What are the things that I need to know as a consumer about these particular products that could help me or could hurt me? What things can you tell me? So I'm looking for information, looking to educate myself. And the last one, and this is the one that most people miss, your website's designed to help create you a list, a marketing list. Now, the number of websites that don't have something to download. Now, if you've got something of value, I'm happy to give you my first name and email address in exchange for that information. And I can do that for two reasons. A, I want the information. And B, if you send me marketing stuff that I don't want to listen to anymore, I simply hit the unsubscribe button. So there's no danger in me giving you my first name and email address. Where people go wrong, where businesses go wrong, is they have a data capture form because someone said, hey, let's get all the information we can about someone you know nothing about, have no relationship with, and let's ask them what their first name is, their last name is, their postcode, where they live, how many kids they got, why they're contacting. And most people today simply will not give you that information. But most people, if you've got something valuable enough, we're happy to give you their first name and email address. Now we're creating a list. Now we're creating a marketing list, and we can have a conversation with these people. Now, that requires us to have some back-end stuff and automate that, and we use, you know, automated responders and that kind of thing, which most small businesses don't understand, but they're not expensive to set up. It takes a little bit of time. So if you're looking at websites, and we're looking at how people engage with you on that hyperlocal basis, we now understand that people are searching for business. 92% of people actually go online and Google your business. Now, here's the social media tool. The most powerful social media tool available to small business today isn't Facebook, it isn't LinkedIn, it isn't Twitter. The most powerful social media tool available today is Google Plus My Business. And the reason for that is really, really simple. Almost 70% of people who Google your business are looking for independent, verifiable reviews that someone else has done business with you and your business is genuine. Now, the reason we look at Google Plus reviews, there's lots of review sites, but some of the review sites have got some challenges. Now, in real estate, Zillow, for instance, consumers understand that real estate agents pay to be at the top of that. So we look at that with skepticism. But Google Plus, you've got to sign in, and you can verify that someone signed in. And yes, there are people who manipulate the system, but they're pretty easy to spot. We sign in, we can leave reviews, and you can leave good and bad reviews. Now, testimonials on websites, as an example, are almost valueless today. And the reason they're valueless is really, really simple. No one puts a bad testimonial on their website. So when you read them, you go, hang on, are these all of them or just some of them, first of all? Secondly, they can be written by anyone. Dave from Laguna Beach. And you go, who the hell's Dave from Laguna Beach? But if you have a Google Plus review, then you go, hang on a second, I can have a look at who these people are. I can see whether they're legitimate. Have they left one review for this business? If they've only left one review in their life and it's just one business, chances are they're not being genuine. Now, if you have a look at Google Plus, and you can do a search. If you do a search for dentists in a particular area, for instance, dentists seem to have jumped on this and understand the value of getting reviews. If you know nothing else about a business and you simply look at their Google Plus reviews and one business has 50 reviews at 5 stars, and another business has 12 reviews at 2.5 stars, knowing nothing else about that business, Will, which one would you think or which one do you perceive, which is more important, which one do you perceive to be the better business just based on that information? If you were searching for a business and one had 50 reviews at 5 stars, one had 20 or 12 reviews at 2.5 stars, which one do you perceive to be the better business?
Well, the one with the 50 reviews.
Absolutely. Knowing nothing else about that business, we as consumers make decisions on who to reach out to based on previous consumers' experiences. Now, have a look at the number of businesses, and for the listeners, have a look at your own area. Do a Google search for your particular product or service and have a look at how many businesses have got Google Plus My Business pages. And there's heaps of them. Have a look how many have actually got reviews. And virtually none of them have got reviews. Virtually none of them are reaching out to their clients. And it's really simple to do. Cost no money to put it in place. Google loves Google stuff. The other thing is, one of the most valuable pieces of real estate on a Google search right now, if you do a Google search, what you do is an organic search, right? If you're looking for a product or service, you get the AdWords up the top. Over 80% of people ignore the AdWords. When's the last time you did a search for a product or service and then clicked on one of the AdWords? Now, I've got friends, which this just, you know, tickles me to death. They will click on the AdWords because they want to cost the company who's put them up their money. I don't understand it, but they seem to think this is funny to click on the AdWords at a cost of money. So you get the AdWords first. Then what you get is a map, which is Google Local, and then you get three businesses listed underneath the map. We call this the three stack. Now, the number one spot right underneath the map, that real estate is absolute gold. Now, for any of your listeners, what I would tell you to do is Google your own product or service. See who comes up in that number one spot underneath the map. That's a business that has, those three businesses will have Google Plus My Business pages. Have a look at the business that comes up number one. I will promise you one thing. In fact, I'll bet you a dollar that the business who comes up number one, A, has no idea why they've come up number one, two, how they got to that number one position, or how to stay there. And I guarantee you that in most cases, in something like 80% of the cases, they will have no reviews, but they'll occupy that number one spot, and they have no idea how valuable that real estate agent is. Because what we do as human beings, we have a look at Google, and we say, if Google says it's true, it must be true. Now, in 2015, a lot of people know this, but in 2015, Google became the number one trusted news source in the world. It's now more trusted as a news source than traditional media, and it's not difficult to see when you have a look at the, you know, particularly the political bias that you guys get, particularly in the States, from particular news outlets. Google is perceived as being neutral. So if Google says something, it must be true. So if Google puts you number one in that space there, there must be a good reason for it. Your business must be better. Now, small businesses, if they understand how to utilize that information, you can get your business slotted in that number one space. And it takes some time and it takes some research, or you can spend a little bit of money with someone to help you do that. But that real estate is absolute gold. That is the most powerful social media tool you've got available to you today, is that those Google reviews.
All right. So what would you suggest that people do to get more Google reviews?
Well, it's a bit like the old referral process. The first thing that you want to know as a business owner, you want to know whether you've done a good job or a bad job. So, for instance, let's look at a mortgage broker, for instance. If you do a transaction for a particular client, you want to know whether you've done a good job or a bad job. Now, one of the keys about reviews is clients will not tell you the truth until the end of the transaction, particularly, let's look at real estate or mortgage broking or something like that. And they won't tell you the truth until the end of the transaction because they think you'll do something, or they think the broker or the agent will do something during the transaction that will cost them or hurt them. So they don't tell the truth. People are happy to tell you the truth after the transaction. Now, as a business owner, you want feedback. You want to understand whether you did a really good job, whether you did a really bad job. We want to get reviews so we can encourage more people to work with us and understand that people only tell us the truth after the transaction's done. So it's simply a matter of understanding and copying the link on your Google Plus My Business page. Send that link to your client at the end of every transaction and say, "Hi, we really value your feedback. We would love to have you give us a review. If you have any negative feedback, would you please respond to the email and let me fix this for you? Let me address this. As a business owner, you have the right to know if someone's unhappy with your business before they go and post it on social media. Now, the only reason that people, the big reason that people post on social media, on review sites, is because they feel that you didn't do what you said you were going to do as a business. You let me down. I feel hurt and aggrieved. And the first thing I want to do is I want to hurt your business because you hurt me. And I'm going to tell the world how crappy your business is. Now, if you give an unhappy client the opportunity, an unhappy customer the opportunity to have their problem heard, be heard, and you then take the opportunity to fix that, what happens in a vast majority of cases, you can turn that client around and they can then become a raving fan because you've actually done something to help them as opposed to hurt them, and then they don't post on social media. But you want to get that feedback. And if they have got good feedback and you say, here's the link to my website, would you mind giving me a 5-star review? And the key here is when you write to people, don't ask them for a review. Ask them for a 5-star review. Would you mind giving me a 5-star review? Now, they might come back and say, look, I can't give you 5 stars. I can only give you 4. And you go, not a problem. Very happy, as long as it's honest feedback. And provided you give me the opportunity as a business owner, first of all, to understand if we did something right or wrong. Because as a business owner, your responsibility is to ensure that you deliver an outstanding customer experience every time. And you can't do that unless you get honest feedback. Now, you write an authentic email to someone. You reach out to them. If you want to build your online reviews and your business is brand new, for instance, I've got a client now, they've got a brand new business, and these guys are just so keen, kind of mustard to get this thing happening. And they said, we don't have any clients. I said, that's not a problem. Have you got people who know you, who understand you, who know how ethical you are? And they go, yep, we do. And so, well, reach out to them and ask them to do a review on you and say, hey, these guys are great. Now they're going to be fantastic in business, and get a 5-star review from people who know you and trust you, who would be willing to refer you. This is the best and most powerful social media tool. And one of those tools, remember I said earlier about having clients or leading clients to their own conclusion that you're awesome at what you do? One of the best ways to allow your prospects or your potential clients to come to the conclusion that you're awesome at what you do is to look at what other people have said about your business. Now, you're not saying that you're awesome. Other people are saying that you're awesome, and I can believe that. If you tell me you're awesome, I'm not going to believe that. Other people, yeah, you got 30, 40 reviews. I'll tell you how powerful it is, Will. I had a young guy who's a mortgage broker, Queensland. Queensland's a bit like your Florida. Beautiful sunshine all the time, fantastic place. Very competitive because everyone wants to live up there. Got this guy to do the whole Google thing. Didn't have any money to spend on his marketing, said, do the Google thing. He went out and he got 35-star reviews in one weekend. Went out to everyone he knew and said, would you please give me a review? Got 35-star reviews. The following Tuesday, I got a phone call from a guy who said, the reason I rang you is you're the only mortgage broker in my area who has any meaningful reviews. You got 35-star reviews. He said, I've got a $850,000 loan that I need to do, and I'm calling you because you're the only one. You're the only broker who's got these reviews. And he rang me on the Tuesday after the phone call, and he said, this stuff works. And I said, I know it does. Unchanging principles of human psychology. We want to deal with someone who someone else has dealt with. We don't want to be forging a new path with a new business and taking that risk. We want to reduce the risk by seeing what other people have said about your business and then leveraging off that so we can deal with you with comfort and confidence and go, yeah, you're good at what you do.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what you are seeing in marketing today that a small business could pick up and run with immediately, in addition to this Google Plus for business?
Some of the things that I'm saying to businesses is that the no-cost strategies, there's a couple of no-cost strategies you can put in place, and there's the obvious one, Jen, is the referral, which every business says they do referrals or get word of mouth. And so few businesses actually know how to do or generate referrals properly. One of the keys to generating referrals is, if you do a good job, then that's what you're supposed to do. That doesn't earn you the right to get a referral by doing a good job. No one engages your business to have a bad job done. You know, if you're a plumber or you're a builder or you're an electrician, if you do a great job, you know, that doesn't give you the right to ask for a referral. That just means, hey, you've done a good job. Now, doing a good job is absolutely critical to generating referrals. But what most people don't understand, particularly in service businesses, is that, you know, if you want to generate referrals, you've got to make referrals part of the deal. This doesn't cost you any money to go in and say, hey, if we do a fantastic job and you be the judge, Mr. Customer or Mrs. Customer, if we do a fantastic job, would you mind referring us to a friend or family member if they have a need for our service? You make it part of the deal right up front. And the answer to that question is, yeah, I'd be happy to, because you've made it, you've qualified it. You've said, if we do an excellent job, you know, and I've got to do an excellent job first, if we did, would you mind referring? Yeah, I would. Now, the reason we say that is because getting an excellent job done is so difficult these days. It's a bit of a surprise when you do. And one of the keys there is excellent communication. One of the biggest complaints of any service industry in the world is communication. So if you communicate well with people, you make it part of the deal, you can generate leads from those referrals. There's an old axiom that goes, we never ask for as much help as we need, but we're always happy to give more help than we're asked for. And the number of people I hear who say, if you just ask me, you know, well, of course I'd help your business out. But we don't take advantage of that because, you know, we feel like we're imposing on people. But, you know, for instance, when you and I first met, if I was to ring you the day after we had our first phone conversation and said, Will, would you help me with something? You'd have said, if I rang you literally, Will, you know, just after we met and said, would you help me with something? What would you have said?
Well, I would have said, maybe.
Yeah. Tell me what you need and if I can help you out. Yeah. And in fact, you'd have probably felt a little bit special that I rang and asked you, that I felt comfortable enough to ring and ask you. That's how we work as human beings.
Sure.
So that's one of the things that we teach our clients. Some of the other things we teach our clients is, of course, the networking thing, because you can generate bucket loads of business through networking. The big challenge with a number of the networking things, though, that I see, and I've been to, I don't know how many B&I meetings that I've been to, but the challenge with a number of these networking groups, and they spring up everywhere, so they're fantastic to generate business, but the challenge is they don't teach you how to network. And what I see is a business owner will walk in, so you and I walk into a networking event, I see you, oh, there's Will over there, there's someone I know, so I'll walk over and you and I will grab a beer and we'll have a beer together and we'll have a chat, and then we leave and go, well, that was a waste of my time, I didn't pick up any business out there whatsoever, Will. And you go, well, hang on a second, we just stood there and talked. The medium wasn't wrong, networking wasn't wrong. It was our approach that was wrong. And there's four things you need to make a networking function work. The first thing is you need to have a target. Now, I generate about 100 leads a year from networking events, and I attend one networking event per month for 10 months of the year, right? And I generate 100 leads. And how I do that is I don't leave an event until I've got 10 business cards from that event. So that's the first thing you need. You need to have a target. Now, if you don't have a target, then why are you turning up? You know, you've got to walk away. It's a business event. You're not going there to make friends. You can always be friends afterwards. You're going there to support your family. You're going there to build your business. And it's a business event. You're looking for someone who can help your business or looking for businesses that you can help. First thing. Second thing is you need to have the right approach. When you walk into a networking event, and so many of these networking events advertise them as social events. You know what? I've got enough friends. What I need is more clients. Now, I'm happy to be friends with some of my clients. That's not a problem. But what I do is I treat these events, and I teach my clients to treat these events like a speed dating event, but a speed business event. What I'm looking to do is I'm looking to find the people in that room that I can help or who can help me. And to do that, I need to be able to qualify you really quickly. What you need for that is you need to have a powerful pitch. Now, let me just have a little rant for a second about elevator pitches. Elevator pitches, by the vast majority of people who teach you to do elevator pitches will teach you to sound like an idiot. They will teach you to say things that you don't normally say. They'll teach you language that you don't normally have in your vocabulary, and it makes you sound like it's a sales pitch and people turn off. It'll make you sound like an idiot. So, for instance, you meet someone at a networking event and say, oh, so what do you do? And you go, oh, we excel in the delivery of exceptional service to the market who prides themselves. And you go, what the hell are you on about, dude? Like, seriously, that's not how people talk. So you've got to have a pitch that is absolutely authentic and absolutely natural, because people, once again, are just like you, and we see through the veneer that people put up, that business veneer trying to convince you that they do this. People don't talk like that. And I'll give you an example. When I get a networking event and someone says to me, what do you do, Daryl? I say, well, I'm a marketing strategist, and I work with small and medium-sized business owners, particularly those that have got, you know, sort of no or very little marketing budget. It's because I teach these no-cost, low-cost techniques, marketing techniques that generate all the leads these guys can handle. Now, when I say that, what you picked up in there was a whole heap of stops and stutters and starts, and you went, hang on a second, this bloke's making this up on the spot. No, I wasn't. I know exactly what I'm going to say, but that's how people talk. That's how we talk. When someone says, "What do you do?" You go, "Oh, hang on a second. Let me tell you what I do. I don't want it to sound like a pitch. I want it to be authentic. So I have to make it sound like the way I talk." So you have stops and starts and stutters and that kind of stuff. And people go, "Oh, hang on a second." Now, if you think about what I just said, there's five hot buttons in there. I'm a marketing strategist and I work with the owners of small and medium-sized businesses. Well, that's me. I'm the owner of a small and medium-sized business. In professional services, I'm in professional services because I only work with professional service businesses. Those who've got little to no marketing budget. Oh, hang on a second. We've got no marketing budget whatsoever because I teach no-cost, low-cost marketing techniques. Hang on a second. How does that work? And that generate all the leads you can handle. Well, there's five hot buttons. So if I own a small or medium-sized professional service business with no marketing budget and I want to know how to market my business for no or low cost and generate all the leads I can handle, there's five hot buttons. The next words out of that person's mouth is, how do you do that? I now know that I have a prospect because I've qualified them, and the next thing I do is I ask them for their business card and then I make an offer. And I've got an offer that I deliver to people which allows them to engage with me on a no-cost, low-cost basis. I have these what I call marketing makeovers. Now, marketing makeover works because a makeover, I don't do marketing health checks. I don't do, because, without putting too fine a point on it, I'm a 53-year-old man. A health check doesn't hold a great deal of attraction for me, I've got to tell you, at this stage of my life. So a lot of people understand that. So I have a marketing makeover. And the marketing makeover says you come in looking like this, you go out looking like that. Now, I used to charge for these things. And they became so successful that I spoke to my publisher and he said, "Daryl, you've got to write a book about this." So I said, "Well, what do I need?" He said, "You need lots and lots of content." I said, "Well, how do I get that?" He said, "Well, how about you give these marketing makeovers away in exchange for the client allowing you to use their details in your book?" So I said, "I'll do that." So my offer now is that, hey, I do these marketing makeovers and in 50 minutes on the phone, if you allow me to use the results in my book, I'll find you, a minimum of $25,000 in additional income without spending a cent more on your marketing or advertising. Now, that's how I get 10 business cards out of each one of those events, because I give something away, no risk, low risk. I have a message that allows me to qualify my clients. I treat these events like a business event, like speed dating business event, and I have a target, and I don't leave until I get 10 business cards. Now, I teach my clients how to do that for their own business, and it's extraordinary the results you can get. So as a no-cost, low-cost strategy, networking is absolutely invaluable. You've got to find events where you're not well known, because once you become known in a particular event, then it's difficult to engage with new prospects. So there's a couple of really simple things. Now think about this. Imagine you go to a networking event. Imagine you deliver your elevator pitch. Imagine you've got a really powerful offer. And then that person goes home and says, "Hang on a second, I'm going to Google this business and check you out." Now imagine they find your business and they go, "Oh, gee whiz, they've got 55-star reviews. These guys must be, what's the perception that this prospect's now getting in their head, Will? What are they now thinking about your business?"
Well, they're thinking this guy must know what he's doing. He's been helping a lot of people.
Absolutely. And then they find your YouTube channel, and on your YouTube channel, you've got all these videos, not about how good your business is, but about information that could help me make a decision, information about my product or service that allows someone to engage with me. Go, "Hang on a second, this guy must be awesome." This is how we lead our clients to come to that conclusion that we're awesome at what we do. And that's what we want our clients to understand. In marketing, perception is far more valuable than reality. Inside reality, outside perception. Inside reality of your business is you're awesome. Outside perception is you're just like everybody else. How do we change that outside perception? Well, what we do is we create the tools that lead our clients to understand how awesome we are on the inside. And as I said, most valuable tool for that is Google Plus My Business. YouTube, actually creating an opportunity to have an engagement, have a conversation with someone, not about how good we are, but about the information that we possess that can help them. We then go to networking events and we then do the networking thing. People check us out. Same as the referrals. If you ask someone for a referral, and they refer a client, we know that 92% of those people are going to Google your business. If they Google your business and they find, 55-star reviews, once again, what are we now thinking about that business? We're now thinking these guys are legit. These guys are the real deal. So you see how this fits together with no cost. Your audience, your listeners right now could go and put some of those strategies in place right now at no cost and drive heaps more leads than they're currently driving. I don't want to put a number on that, but seriously,
Excellent. You know? Well, listen, Daryl, that's wonderful, and that the great contribution to people here in Southern California. They can call. We can help them do that. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so how would they get in touch with you if they wanted to say, hey, Will, introduce me to Daryl Weeks? What would they do?
Well, they could shoot me an email. Do you want my email? I'm happy to give my email
absolutely.
Out if someone wants to shoot me an email.
Right ahead.
It's Daryl, DARRELL, at purplethread.com.au. And that's purple thread as one word, and that's purple and thread, as in the color. You can have a look on LinkedIn. I'm very easily found on LinkedIn with DARRELL, and Weeks is WEEKES. We're, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, who was sent out to Australia as a convict, didn't know how to spell his name, so he stuck an E in there, or someone stuck an E in there. It's funny thing, what I've got to tell you about Australians is that for a long, long time, being the descendant of a convict, being shipped out from England, an island, as our ancestors of my great-great-great-great-grandfather, it was a badge of dishonor, but now Australians embrace it. In fact, we've now got people making up that their ancestors were convicts. They can just so they can tell an interesting story.
So you get a choice. You either come over on the Mayflower or you come over as a convict, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Free settlers. We don't have much time for free settlers in Australia. We're a funny nation of people.
This is wonderful.
And Daryl, one of our biggest military losses.
Well, good. And I'm looking to have you over here for a tour of Southern California. I think we can do a lot of good for businesses in California that are looking to thrive. So I want to thank you very much for getting up so early in the morning and spending some time with us here in California.
It's been my absolute pleasure, Will. Thank you so much for asking me on. I really appreciate the opportunity. I hope your listeners got heaps out of it.
Absolutely, because we're all here in California. We're looking to make our small to medium-sized businesses thrive. And the more people we can find that will help us, the better we can thrive in our businesses in California.
You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.